If you turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be looking at the first four verses. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And I will read those verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of 1 John and these wonderful words of John, who was a witness to our Savior many years ago. And I'm thankful that as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, he wrote these words that we might have, our joy might be full. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. It's becoming more difficult today sometimes to tell if something is true that you see on TV. And in the past few years, there have been tours of famous dead performers. In the form of holograms, and they actually have a performance of a hologram. And I watched a few minutes of a video of Michael Jackson. Does anybody remember Michael Jackson? Well, it was a hologram of him singing and performing, and he was performing with real people, dancers, and they were dancing behind him and in front of him. And that when a performer went behind him, you didn't see through the hologram. He looked like a solid, real person. But you know, if somebody in the audience were to jump up and run up and try to touch the guy, his finger would just go into the air, right? But it was very different with the Apostle John. He tells us in this letter that Jesus Christ is real and he's the Son of God. And John can say this because he was a witness to the life of Christ. John saw Jesus, he heard Jesus, and he even physically touched Jesus. And he saw and heard and touched Jesus, not only before he was crucified, but after he rose from the dead. We can trust John's eyewitness account that Jesus is real because he was there. And because Jesus is real, we as Christians should be very happy about that. In fact, that should give us great joy. These first four verses, John emphatically tells us he was a witness to our Savior. So let's first look at what John says about witnessing the real Jesus. When you're a witness, You see, you hear, or you know by personal presence and perception. You know, when somebody's being tried in a court of law, the prosecuting lawyers will call a witness, or at least more than one witness, to testify before the judge and the jury. Or the defense lawyer will do the same thing. They'll call witnesses. And the fate of people who are being tried for crimes can rest on the testimony of witnesses. It's a very important part of our legal system. If there aren't any witnesses to a crime, or the witnesses are unreliable, the defendant might be found not guilty. Being a witness to Jesus Christ is very important. It's far more important than being a witness to any crime that has ever been committed. It's far more important than being a witness to the crowning of a king or the swearing in of a president of a country, being a witness to the life of Christ is the most important and profound witnessing that anyone has ever done. And the reason being is that the eternal destiny of millions and millions of people have depended on the testimony of these witnesses. And these witnesses are the ones who have written the New Testament. The New Testament contains the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus came to earth as a man to die for our sins, and he rose from the dead 3 days after his death. Before Jesus was crucified, he told the apostles to be a witness for him. He said in John 15:27, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Jesus also told Paul to be a witness for him. In Acts 26:16, Paul relates what Jesus said. Jesus said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Jesus told these men to be a witness for him so the gospel of salvation could be preached and spread to the world. And it's because of these faithful witnesses writing down what they saw and heard as they were moved by the Holy Ghost that we have the New Testament. And in the first two verses of this 1 John chapter 1, John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." So we see the first reference to Jesus Christ in chapter 1, or verse 1, is that which was from the beginning. And then you look at the end, it says, of the word of life. The word of life is Jesus Christ. The word is written in capital letters. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, that Hank read, it said, "In the beginning was the Word," in capital letters, "and the Word," in capital letters, "was with God." And verse 2, "And the same was in the beginning with God." Jesus Christ has been with God the Father since the beginning, right? Even before the foundation of the world. He's called the Word in John 1, verse 1. He's also called the Word of Life in what we're looking at this morning, 1 John 1, chapter 1. Life was made by Jesus Christ. Life is sustained by Jesus Christ. And life eternal is possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Word of Life is in the Bible. It's only through hearing the Word and having faith in the Word can anyone be saved from eternal death. Jesus says of himself, he is the beginning of everything. He said in Revelation 1:8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." The Word of Life, that is Jesus Christ, manifested himself to John and the other disciples, others. And manifested means made clearly visible to the eye. Jesus appeared to John and others in the flesh. Jesus, who is eternal and with God, and who is with God the Father. As it says in verse 2, that eternal life which was with the Father. John and others witnessed Jesus, who has existed for all eternity past, and he showed himself to them as a man, God in the flesh. John is clearly telling us that it is Jesus Christ who he and others witnessed. So what ways did John and others witness Jesus Christ? Well, there's three ways that the verses tell us. The first is the witness heard Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. They heard Jesus for 3 years during his ministry on earth. The Gospels are full of the preaching of Christ that John and others would have heard directly because they would have been near Jesus when he was speaking. For instance, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10, John would have heard Jesus say in verses 7 to 9, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." John would have heard Jesus tell them about the coming Holy Spirit that was going to come to earth when he left. Jesus said in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then after the resurrection of Christ, John would have heard Jesus speak. Just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." But not only did John hear Jesus, but John saw Jesus. The witnesses saw Jesus. Verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon." Notice he said, "which we have looked upon." That means looking at for a long time. It wasn't just a glance. They didn't just see him walk by. They looked upon him. When he was preaching, they looked upon him. When he was speaking to them, they looked upon him. And there were so many things that Jesus did that John saw as a firsthand witness. Think of all the miracles that Jesus performed over those 3 years. John witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000 men along with children and women with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He saw the 12 baskets of bread remaining after those thousands of people had been fed. And when John and the disciples were crossing the sea over to Capernaum, a great wind blew up. And while they were rowing against the wind and very fearful, they saw Jesus walking on top of the water. They saw him. And he said, "It is I, be not afraid." And as soon as Jesus stepped onto the ship, it miraculously reached the shore. When Lazarus had taken ill and his sisters Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come to Lazarus, John would have seen the two sisters weeping because Lazarus had died by the time Jesus got there. And he would have seen the emotion of grief in Jesus' face. Remember, Jesus, even though he brought Lazarus back to life, he wept. That's the most popular verse for people to memorize. Jesus wept, John 11:35. And John would have seen Jesus pray to the Lord before commanding Lazarus to come out of the grave. And then John would have seen with his own eyes Lazarus coming out of the grave, still clad in his grave clothes, with his head bound. John 11:44, "And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Not only did John and the disciples see the miracles of Christ, they also saw the horrible crucifixion of Jesus. After Jesus was dead, John would have seen that soldier thrust the sword up into his side, and blood and water gushed out of his side. But one of the soldiers, this is John 19:34 or 35, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out thereof blood and water, and he that saw it bare record, And his record is true. You see how John is saying, look, this is true what I saw. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. That's for us to believe. He's saying, I saw it. You must believe what I saw. And verily, very importantly, the witnesses also saw the resurrected Christ. That's our hope, is it not? The resurrected Christ. If Jesus had died for our sins and never risen from the dead, we would have no hope. And Jesus was raised the third day, victorious over death and hell. And when the disciples were hiding from the Jews in a room, the resurrected Christ, just all the doors were closed. He just appeared in the room. John 20, verse 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They saw the Lord, the resurrected Jesus Christ. But thirdly, the witnesses touched Jesus. That which was from the beginning, and our hands have handled of the word of life. They actually touched our Savior before he died. And they touched him when he was resurrected. It's so important we understand that they physically touched him. He wasn't a manifestation of a man. He was a physical man. He is a physical man and God, resurrected man and God. When the disciples had the last Passover with Jesus, John physically touched Jesus by leaning on his chest. John 13, 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And it's believed that he, the one whom Jesus loved, is John. And we just read when Jesus appeared to the disciples in his room after his resurrection, Thomas wasn't there at the time. And he said, I'm not going to believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead unless I touch his scars, touch his side, touch his hands. And then 8 days later, Thomas saw Jesus with the disciples again. John 20, 27, 28. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus told Thomas to touch him, to be sure that he is real. It's not his imagination. He wasn't dreaming. Jesus wasn't a hologram. Jesus was real then, and Jesus is real now. He's at the right hand of God the Father. John has stated to us that he and others have heard Jesus speak. They've seen Jesus with their own eyes, and they've actually touched him. And they did this not only before he went to the cross, but also after he was resurrected. John has told us for a reason. First of all, he's told us so we can have fellowship with the real Jesus Christ. That's verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John has declared Christ is real. He really is the resurrected Son of God. And for this reason, we can have fellowship with other believers because we have placed our faith in a real Savior. He's not some imaginary God that has been dreamt up by somebody. Jesus Christ is truly the one and only Savior of the world. This is what early believers understood. And they fellowshiped with one another after they got saved, after they heard the preaching of Peter, and their hearts were pricked because they realized that they were sinners. They had killed the Messiah. And then 3,000 souls got saved. And then 3,000 immediately went and got baptized in the river. Can you imagine 3,000 people getting baptized? A few weeks ago, 4 people got baptized, and that was so exciting. But 3,000 souls. But we get together every Sunday to fellowship with one another, right? And that's what they did in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine is the word of God, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, that's communion, and in prayers. That's why we get together, to fellowship with one another as we worship our Lord and our Savior. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but is exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. But our most important fellowship is with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with God the Father because we have been adopted by Him as one of His children. And we have all the promises. We have the inheritance that He has promised all who believe in Jesus Christ. We have the promise of an eternal glorified body one day. And one day we'll be in a new Jerusalem, a new earth. Be no night, no day, no sickness, no sorrow. We have fellowship with our Lord and King. And the word fellowship means communion. Intimate familiarity. You know, we have such a close fellowship even now with God the Father and God the Son. We're one in them. Like, that's close. John 17:21, when Jesus is praying to God the Father, he's talking about us, all believers who would come after He left this earth. He said that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, and that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. We abide in Jesus Christ, as He is the vine and we are the branches. We can't do anything without Him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. John 15:5. Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body. When we break bread together, we're remembering the communion with Jesus as we remember what He did for us on the cross by shedding His blood and dying for our sins. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This brings us to another reason that John has written that he was a witness to the real Jesus Christ. And that is, we have complete joy in the real Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The joy, word joy means a state of happiness, a state of delight. John writes that we're not only to have joy, but full joy. That means complete joy, perfect joy. There's nothing else we need for full joy but to know that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is real, whom John and others saw, whom they heard, and whom they touched and wrote about. Isaiah says why we're to be joyful in Isaiah 61:10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You see, we have peace with God as believers, right? Is that not a reason to be joyful? You know, when the two Marys first learned that the tomb was empty, they were filled with great joy. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. That's Matthew 28:8. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. This is a reason to be full of joy. Not only have our sins been forgiven by God through our faith in Christ, but we have the promise of eternal life. Those who witnessed the resurrection of Christ and his ascension into heaven were filled with great joy because the truth really hit home. They now knew they no longer had to fear death because they had faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's the last piece of the puzzle that makes the whole picture clear to them. We have great joy. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. But thankfully, this is not true, and Jesus has risen from the dead. We can be full of joy. We can abound in hope, knowing what the future holds for each one of us. Like, this is, you know, we get caught up in our day-to-day activities. I know I do. And I forget about that big promise that I have. And you should remember the promise that you have. Because sometimes life doesn't go too smoothly, and you have trials and you have troubles. But you have a promise that no one can take away from you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, there are churches today who are denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was a prophet. He was a man. People are professors and scholars. They scoff at the idea that he even existed. But we can be sure of what John has told us, because it's in the Bible, and we can trust the Bible as the eternal word of God, which will never perish. John saw the miracles. He witnessed firsthand lepers being healed, blind people having their eyesight restored, lame people being cured, dead people being risen from the dead. He saw Jesus feed thousands of people. He witnessed Jesus walking on water. He heard Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven and the promise of eternal life. And John heard God the Father even tell them that he was well pleased with his Son when Jesus was transfigured on the mount. John touched the real Jesus. He heard the real Jesus. And he saw the real Jesus. Don't let anyone give you doubts about who he is and what he's done for you. John's word is 100% true, and we can trust what the Bible says. So we're just to be full of joy knowing the promises we have. We're to be full of joy knowing that we have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. And we should be full of joy knowing our eternal souls are safely hidden with Christ in God. As Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, if you haven't turned to Jesus Christ as your Savior, If you haven't trusted him as your Savior, you don't have that hope. You're condemned to be judged and sent to hell to pay for your sins. You must repent, and you must, by faith, believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must believe in your heart that he died for your sins and he rose from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, Jesus died for your sins. He died for my sins. And we have peace with God. We have the forgiveness of sins forever and ever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Because we're here because of him. We're here to give glory to you for what you've done for us by sending your Son to die on the cross for our sin. And Lord, there's nothing we can do to repay you. You've done it all for us. All we must do is receive that gift of salvation that you have freely given us, offered to us. And I pray, Lord, that more souls will be saved in our community and around us, that we'll be able to witness to those who need Jesus Christ. But I thank you, Lord, that we can just trust you every single day of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.